I want to first start off by talking about our Monday schedule and availability. There's a new league policy that states we have to make players available on Mondays in the event that we don't have an open locker room or a Victory Monday, for example. So today's just not a one-time deal. I will assure you that you'll have players available to you on Monday. Today we're going to have Kevin Mawai and Keith Bullock available after I'm done. So, questions?
How's your quarterback?
You know, we still don't have any test results back. As soon as we get the results back, we'll let you know. I really have no further comment as far as his physical condition until we get the test results.
When do you expect the results back?
As soon as we get them, we'll give them to you. Hopefully we'll have them. I'm sorry?
Could they be today? Or
this quite likely could be today. But we have no intention to keep anything. You know, we'll just let you know. Now, you know, in the event that, you know, he's going to be out, which is, I think, going to be unlikely, but then, of course, we'll let you know. And if he's got a chance to play this week, we'll also let you know that, too.
What's your initial test on the knee last night? Would they lead you to believe?
X-rays were negative. So what you do is you do an MRI just to look at the structure of the knee. So
the other story is Vince's sideline demeanor. What happened yesterday? Talk to us and be honest, if you will, about what went on there, because that's what everybody's talking about.
Well, again, I addressed it yesterday, I hope. I addressed it completely yesterday, and I'll revisit again just briefly, but we can move on. I mean, as I mentioned yesterday, we had an issue with the hamstring tightness, and there's communication, all kinds of communication that takes place on the sideline. You saw Vince sitting on the bench with a towel on his head. I mean, obviously he wasn't happy with the interception, but that was not part of the issue. The issue was just communication between myself and he and the trainers and the coaches regarding whether his hamstring was tightening up or not. And so, you know, Vince's demeanor on the sideline after a negative play, it's different. Yeah, you're not used to seeing that. It's his way of coping with and putting something behind him. He'd rather be by himself and put something like that behind him, but did not lead to, you know, it wasn't the demeanor on the sideline that led to the confusion. The confusion was specifically related to his hamstring tightness.
But doesn't a player who has some sort of hamstring tweak or whatever injury have an obligation to go to the medical staff first and let them know that there may be a situation?
Not necessarily. It's oftentimes I've talked to players, and he didn't have a pull. He wasn't injured. He was tight. And so we communicate. Mike communicates with him. We communicate with him. It's not necessarily, you know, if you got an injury where a player's down the field, yeah, he's being treated by the medical staff, of course. But we talk to players all the time about how you feel.
So talk to us about your demeanor then on the sideline with him, because you were clearly upset.
I had an offensive group on the field, and the referee is getting ready to wind the play clock, and had a quarterback on the sideline. So if I appeared upset, it was because I wanted to get the quarterback on the field so we could go. So, you know, that's the long of it. I mean, I think we're making an awful lot over the fact that there was some communication on the sideline. So I think the bigger issue right now is his knee. I'd be more concerned about his knee than what happened yesterday.
Tell us all about the knee.
Yeah. I don't have any information for you. When I have information for you, I'll give you the information.
As a leader on this team, talk about how his demeanor is different than other guys. Does he need to change his demeanor because he is a leader on this team?
You know, I think he definitely needs to work through some things. There's no doubt about that. It's not the first time he's been frustrated or he's shown frustration outwardly on the sideline. But, you know, he tends to bounce back. He was not happy after the first interception, and he clearly should not have thrown that ball. He made that decision. He understood it. He processed it. He came back 2 series later and led us on a touchdown drive. So, you know, he deals with it.
Do you think his demeanor is damaging in some ways against his teammates to see him and maybe the way he reacts to bad play?
No, I think they understand him. I mean, he shows frustration at times on the practice field. I mean, he's very competitive. You know, he's not used to losing. He's got a tremendous sense of pride, and he doesn't like making mistakes. And You know, he's, I think it's, as a young quarterback, you learn from these experiences and you move on. You know, you don't want, I don't want to necessarily see the other side of it where you got this false chatter and this false enthusiasm on the sideline either. I think, you know, he processes things and he bounces back.
Yeah, if you put his demeanor aside, the fact is that he pulled himself and didn't sing. Is that correct?
He did not pull himself. He did. Let me explain something. Players, I put him on the injury report on Friday because he had a tight hamstring, okay? It's not, there's a significant difference between a tight hamstring and a pull, okay? He had hamstring tightness, okay? He, and the discussion was regarding, related to the tightness and not a pull. There was no pull. If he would have pulled, I assure you and everybody else would have seen him being administered and examined by doctors and trainers.
Did he not make anyone aware of his tightness until you had that conversation with him on the field? Maybe had he kept that to himself at that point?
We discussed it throughout the game. How are you feeling? I mean, that's part of what you do.
I guess the communication, breakdown, and what should have happened, what's learned from that in terms of not ending up in a situation where you've got 10 guys on the field without a quarterback?
We got to communicate better. I probably need to do a better job talking to Mike. I'm on the other side when the defense is out there. You know, I've got a lot of responsibility that goes beyond, you know, just checking on the specific conditions of everybody. And not that that was not important, but, you know, again, I think, you know, he came back on the field, he made plays, and then unfortunately got hurt.
I guess we were missing, we didn't know he was supposed to go back on the field, or did someone know that he was it? I guess that's more so the issue.
Yeah, he's your starting quarterback. If your starting quarterback is feeling good enough to play, he plays. So the question was, is it tight? Is it too tight? We need to use your legs. We need to run around. It's different. You know, if he's a pocket passer, he's okay. Okay, if it was carry, he'd probably be okay. But the stuff that we had in the game plan, the situation in the game where we were at, we needed to get him on the edge and use his legs to put a successful drive together.
Without knowing the result of the MRI yet, do you feel fairly convinced that he's not a season-ending deal like Brady in New England?
Yeah, I mean, after the exam last night, I mean, we would have had a much better idea. If it was potentially season-ending, we would have known last night.
In terms of having to find, if he's going to miss a couple of weeks, in terms of having to find another backup, how long a stretch could you survive with just two quarterbacks with Carey or Engel, or would you look immediately to move and sign somebody else?
Well, I mean, again, once we get the results, we'll kind of circle the wagons and look at our options. Engel certainly makes the most sense because he understands the offense, and then if that's the case, I mean, I really don't need to go into hypotheticals, but I will for you. Then if Engel's the logical solution, then you go out and you get a practice squad quarterback to take his responsibility. And if there's somebody out there with experience, then we feel we want to go that direction, Engel stays in place, and we bring someone else in with experience.
Contact anybody to come in at this point?
At this point, no, it's not.
There was a report,
it may not be necessary.
There was a report that you or whoever contacted Chris Sims.
Not to my knowledge, no. All I hear is from what you hear is that Chris was in New England today, along with Tim. So,
no matter how bad, if Vince's injury is not season-ending, how much could this injury limit him? You know, like the quad last year, having the injury limit him throughout the course of the season.
You know, it's hard. It's hard for me to predict right now, not knowing the extent of it. You know, obviously, if you're dealing with a third-degree MCL sprain. He's probably out a couple of weeks, and you know he's not back to 100% for 3 or 4 weeks. But you know, we just don't know now.
Are you, based on what information you do have, feel like he won't miss any time, or you think he's definitely going to miss some?
I can't tell you that right now until we get the results back.
How much of a concern is it that Albert said he couldn't remember most of what happened in the game yesterday?
You know, I didn't. Was not aware of those comments, but if it's relating to the concussion, we do a thorough examination on the sideline, and we would never allow a player to come back on the field unless he passed the examination, the test. We have all kinds of information, backup information, and a testing protocol that we use, so we would never do that. I think, you know.
Defensively, is that basically set the standard for what you'd like to achieve this year?
Are you talking about football now?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. What was your question again?
We'll take more info on the knee. Okay. defensively, is that kind of set the standard for what we want to do, particularly run defense wise?
I was very, as I say, after the ball game, very, very pleased because they are one of the better rushing teams in the league. And part of the reason we didn't give up yards is because I think they made the decision not to run in the second half. And that should have a lot to do with your effectiveness in the first half. So I was very pleased with how we handled that. Plays they did make, we had missed tackles involved. And the plays that most of their big gains over the years, Fred's making people miss or Maurice is making people miss. So I was pleased with the run defense, pleased with the pass rush. We still made a lot of mistakes. You know, we had mistakes on defense. We had mistakes in all three phases that we have to get corrected. But it's certainly much nicer correcting mistakes after a win than it is after a loss.
Do you want receivers on balls that they conclude they cannot reach to put their arms up, to jump, to dive, to do things that indicate they're giving themselves every chance to pull something in instead of turning around and heading back to the huddle, presuming something was uncatchable?
Well, I mean, a receiver's going to do anything he can to make the catch. If he can't make the catch, he can't make the catch. That's the way we all, every coach's receiver is saying, make the catch. Catch it out of frame. Try to accelerate through. Now, there's times on deep balls where, you know, technique's not proper because the guy will be running with, you know, looking back too soon and not running through the ball. But if you're referring to lack of effort, there was unseen lack of effort on behalf of our receivers.
With the split of carries, run back 15-15, do you envision that being?
You know, we've got as I said yesterday, I like the combination. We knew we were going to, and we'll continue with it. Sometimes it'll be even, sometimes it won't. Yesterday we got Chris going, and when something's working, you stay with it, and then you go through the adjustment process, and it's a chess game with the defensive signal caller, and it was working for us, so we stayed with it. But Lindell obviously had a big impact in the game. But we like balance. I think at the end, I think the numbers, the more important numbers were the rushes, you know, as compared to the pass attempts.
You roll the dice a little bit to have Henry and I know you can't hear his injury, didn't allow you to play him, but going with just two backs.
We also had, you know, Ahmad can carry the football also too if we needed to. So, you know, it's unlikely that you would go through two backs in the ball game. But the inactives, the deactivation decisions were primarily a result of our special teams needs and defensive line.
On special teams, Rob and Craig both had to make tackles.
That's not a good thing. No, I was not pleased with the special teams performance. We gave up too many. We had three big plays, and you can't. Now, granted, that special teams unit, the Jaguars, is probably going to average three big plays in the ballgame because they're very, very talented. But we've met missed tackles. We had people trying to do too much and trying to have too much effect on the play. But it's a good learning experience for us, and we should hope to get it fixed.
Were there any other injuries other than Vince's and Jacob Ford?
No, Jacob Ford, but we're still doing tests, and we've got just the minor things in the ball game that shouldn't keep anybody from missing time.
Ford sternum?
Yes.
He's
not as bad as we originally thought on Friday. Would not rule him out, but there's a good chance I'll have an injury report for you this week.
Jeff, with Cortland Finnegan, two catches, the two picks yesterday, how much does it look like he might be able to improve over what he was able to do last year?
You know, they were huge plays. They were man-to-man plays. And, there's an interception to an interception, but there's a difference between putting your cleats in the ground and driving in zone coverage. Both of these were man-to-man coverages, and one was, you know, a jumping contest that he won. Another was a great play. He anticipated the route, stepped in front. So those are huge plays for us. And everyone in our secondary is capable of making those kind of plays, but you expect your stars to make them, and he made them.
Do you think LaVell Hawkins is ready?
I hope that he would be ready this week. Whether he's active or not, I can't tell you that at this point.
Not just the way that the season starts. You guys get a win. The Colts struggle. Jags obviously lost. It's a good start.
Somebody told me it's the first time since 2004 that the Colts haven't led the division after week one.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, to switch to another quarterback, with Brady out for the Patriots, how much does this maybe impact the AFC? Does that make it a little bit more open this year?
You know, I've always been impressed with Matt. Thought he got a little unfair criticism through the preseason, but he's a capable quarterback and he'll do fine. You know, they may not win all 16, but they'll be there. They've got too much talent on that team. They're too good of coaches to not be there at the end. Now there's only one Tom Brady, and that's very unfortunate for the Patriots and for the league, for that matter, that you lose a marquee player like that.
Is that just because he went to Southern Cal?
It has nothing to do with that. No, he did. It was not a starter there. I hadn't heard of him until he came out.
Jeff, no post-game problem with Barone's legs, okay?
Yeah, legs fine. He didn't have any issues. I mean, you know, you can tell he hadn't kicked off in the month, and so we need to work with that. Was not pleased with that aspect of his game, but you know, to get in there and hit that field goal the way he did was huge, and so he'll settle down, and I think make the adjustments that we need to get the ball, get a better hang time and distance with that.
Is that another squib by design? I mean, everyone was missed here.
Yes.